This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Daily Digest. I'm T. Xiao Ik, and with me is Shamila Gunnison. We have two stories for you today. First up, the COVID-19 pandemic has thrown the whole world into an economic crisis, and Malaysia, of course, is not spared. While our economy seems to be on the mend, we do want to know how the economic crisis has or will impact the gender pay gap in Malaysia. And we are looking at that in conjunction with the first International Equal Pay Day, which happened last Friday. So that will be our first story.
And following that, when was the last time you read something out loud? Not for a presentation at a meeting, but, you know, a passage from a book that you're reading or a news article or even a recipe that you're planning to cook from, right? Researchers have found that there are numerous benefits to reading things out loud, not just for children, but for adults as well. So we'll be talking about that. And on that note, we are asking you on Twitter, would you consider making a practice of reading things out loud regularly? And your options are, yes, I would. No, why would I? And I already do this. So let us know, or you can also WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. That poll is up at BFM Radio on Twitter.
Yep. So that'll be interesting to find out what all of you think as well. But we'll look at our first story first.
So last Friday was, the 18th of September, and that was the very first International Equal Pay Day. So unfortunately, we weren't able to cover it on Friday itself, but it is a topic that we think is particularly important right now because this observance comes in the middle of the COVID-19 pandemic. Almost no country is spared from the economic consequences of the disease, and the lockdowns, of course, have been imposed to curb its spread. But this does in turn affect efforts to improve gender equality at the workplace, particularly when it comes to the income gap.
Yeah, absolutely.
So across the world, across different communities, different cultures, it has been shown that women are generally paid less than men.
Yep.
And globally, the gender pay gap is estimated to be at 23%.
Yeah, shockingly high. We will get to the impact of the pandemic on the gender pay gap in a bit. But first, some background for this new observance. International Equal Pay Day is officially observed by the United Nations, and it's meant to be a representation of the long standing efforts towards achieving equal pay for work of equal value. So it's a day to celebrate the efforts of those who have been striving for equal pay, but also to urge all stakeholders to take concrete action. So equal pay means that women and men have the right to receive equal remuneration for work of equal value. On the one hand, it means ensuring that women and men working in identical or similar jobs receive the same pay. But on the other hand, it also means that women and men should be paid equally when they do work that is completely different, but can be shown to be of equal value.
It sounds so simple when you put it like that.
Yeah.
But what should be made clear is that the gender pay gap should not be attributed to the lack of ability on the part of women.
Yep.
So pay discrimination happens to women of all abilities and stages. One of the most recent and really quite high profile examples would be broadcaster Samira Ahmed, whose equal pay claim against the BBC resulted in the unanimous verdict by a tribunal that the BBC had discriminated against her based on her gender. So this resulted in this discrimination resulted in lower pay for her for almost identical work that her male counterpart was doing at the BBC.
Yeah, and the BBC, right?
So even when men and women work in completely different jobs, if the value of their work is the same, the pay should not be discriminated against.
Yep.
On top of that, women do tend to take on more unpaid care and domestic work compared to men, which means that the paid jobs that are similar to these roles are similarly undervalued.
That is my pet peeve right there. I could go on for days on that topic. But, you know, for decades, activists and civil society have been advocating for gender equality and the empowerment of women and girls. But it's really always been an uphill task for them and those around them. You know, they face obstacles like the historical and structural power imbalance between men and women that persists in our societies, issues like poverty, as well as inequalities and disadvantages in access to resources and opportunities. I mean, make no mistake, we have been making progress in closing the gender pay gap, but this progress has been painfully slow.
So based on statistics from the United Nations, women across the world earn 77 cents for every US dollar that men earn for work of equal value. And this wage gap becomes wider when the women are women with children.
Yep.
So at this rate, according to the World Economic Forum's Global Gender Gap report, it will actually take us 257 years to close the global gender pay gap.
All right.
Not in our lifetimes, unfortunately.
Not in many people's
Yes. So this means that most of us won't even see equal pay. You know, like I said, not in our lifetime, not in our next lifetime. And that just seems unacceptable.
I know. 257 years. So the need to achieve gender equality and the empowerment of all women and girls are also included in the Sustainable Development Goals. So as part of that, these SDGs also promote decent work and economic growth, which can be achieved by seeking full and productive employment and decent work for all women and men, as well as equal pay for work of equal value, like we mentioned earlier. So to do all of these, it's crucial that we must continue with and work towards gender mainstreaming. So what does this mean? It means that any planned action, be it legislation, policies or programs at all areas and levels, it must include an assessment of the implications of that action for both men and women.
And this is, of course, really important, especially at this point in time, when the global economy has been plunged into a crisis by the COVID-19 pandemic. And that's predicted to be worse than the 2008 financial crisis. Yep. So some economies are on the road to recovery, but no country has yet managed to successfully eradicate COVID-19 within their own borders. And with no end to the pandemic in sight, and especially not in the short term, many countries have continued to tighten their public health measures. And while this is important, it does put a spanner in the economy's recovery process.
Yeah, so let's look at, you know, companies. They've been forced to cut the salaries of their staff and in many cases even lay them off. You know, according to the International Labour Organization, the current economic crisis could result in more than 25 million job losses. So with tighter budgets, many women are also forced to look after their children or elderly relatives, taking on those jobs, right, themselves. Experts and advocates are warning that whatever progress, you know, little progress that we've seen in narrowing the wage gap could actually even be reversed. So according to Anita Bhatia, who is the Deputy Executive Director of UN Women, she said that we could see a widening of the gap this year because women are likely to be disproportionately affected by home responsibilities in quarantine, and they may also see their lower wage jobs disappear.
And Malaysia has not been spared from this economic downturn either. And it is currently facing its worst economic recession since the 1998 financial crisis. Our economy was and is still affected by the pandemic, as well as that initial phase of the MCO, which saw a huge number of businesses having to close temporarily. And we saw a record contraction in the economy during the second quarter of the year. So in conjunction with the first International Equal Pay Day, which happened last Friday, as we said, we do want to take a closer look at the gender pay gap here in Malaysia and, you know, how are we doing? So joining us on the line today is Jan Lee Yuen, an advocacy officer from the Women's Aid Organization. Thanks for joining us, Jan. Firstly, could you help to describe what the income gap looks like here in Malaysia?
Okay, so the Department of Statistics in Malaysia actually released a report in 2018 to say that the median salary for males was as much as 342 ringgit a month, while women made just 2,227 ringgit per month. That's a gap about more than 100 ringgit. And of course, in some fields, in some occupations, some of the gaps were as big as 20%. For example, for managers, this gap was 20%. And for the occupations with some of the biggest median gender wage gaps was, for example, craft and related trade workers, as much as 34.9%. So this is actually a problem in Malaysia.
So what are the main reasons behind this gender pay gap in Malaysia?
Well, some of the main reasons are because women are tasked with most of care work, and care work is generally unpaid and not officially recognised. For example, when women get married and they have children, they tend to drop out of work. And when, you know, when you drop out of work and you have this gap resume, a lot of employers see it as some kind of reason to sort of negotiate your salary lower, which is really a pity because women are the ones that are taking care of, you know, families, members of families, like children and the elderly and stuff. So this is one of the main reasons, actually.
So looking at the impact of COVID-19 on the economy and on the labour force, what impact could we see on the gender pay gap in Malaysia? Why do economic downturns impact women more than men?
This is because that COVID impacts more people in informal work, for example, like caregiving. And if we look at policies, like these people are not qualified for wage subsidies. This is one of the examples. And even before the pandemic, we can see that it does already affect women when they have to sort of drop out of formal work to be involved in caregiving. And COVID just tends to magnify that quite a lot. So the research by WAO has found that, for example, the negative consequences do impact women more than men.
So why should people, both men and women, care about closing the gender pay gap? You know, if it has existed for decades, why does it matter that we do something about it?
There is a misconception that exists that women don't need to be paid so much as men because she, for example, or she has a husband to take care of her or some sort of thing like that. But we have to remember that, you know, women also are entitled to be paid fairly for the amount of work that we do. And there are many cases where women are the sole breadwinners of the family and they are the ones keeping the family together. So if you're going to allow a gender pay gap to continue, not only is it's not fair to women, it's also not for the advancement of women in this country. So I think that people in Malaysia should stand up for a fair income and fair wages for both genders, regardless.
So what are the challenges, though, with closing the gender pay gap in Malaysia?
I think one of the challenges, this might be controversial, but one of the challenges is obviously there still exists a bit of a patriarchal attitude in Malaysia. And also another thing that if women were to be more assertive and to demand for higher pay, they would be perceived as aggressive and not looked upon very well. So obviously we are going to need our lawmakers, for example, and we need our society to back our women up to actually demand higher pay.
Do you think the current economic challenges will make this even more difficult to push for?
Definitely, yes, because as we can see, a lot of companies were suffering even without the discussion of gender. They were already, you know, mentioning of things like having to do retrenchments and pay cuts and closing down. So it is definitely going to be more challenging because companies are finding ways to cut costs, to cut costs on and to try and maintain their businesses.
Now, in terms of pushing for this change, where does the responsibility actually lie? Should it be with the employers or should it be with the government?
I think for me personally, I think it is definitely with the government and the society because for one thing, the society has to get this this thing moving along and the government needs to push for policies that would help women to actually demand for better pay. For example, the WAO is pushing efforts in amending the Employment Act, where we are asking for 7 days for paternity leave because we believe that childcare should be something that is fairly balanced between the mother and the father. And also we are pushing for job seeker protection because current laws do not have job seeker protection. It's just for employers, for example, equal pay and anti-discrimination and all these kind of things. So if the society could go hand in hand with each other and to actually ask for our lawmakers to push for these policies, we can actually have a better environment for women to fight for better pay.
Now, when we do talk about the gender pay gap, to the average individual, it can feel like these are things that are beyond our control. But are there things that we can do to push for change?
I think one of the main things is to actually acknowledge that the gender pay gap does exist, because there are still people now that think that it doesn't exist, that women are perfectly fine. But there is, according to statistics, there is a gender pay gap. So I think, number one, the society does need to acknowledge that this exists. And I think also education is important because think of it as, for example, women in your family, your mother, your sister, your grandmother, like, how would you feel if you knew that they were being paid less, even though they were doing the same amount of work or the same quality of work with the same level of skill as other people? And I think people need to start to get into this mindset to know this does affect the society as a whole if you have one group of people that is not being treated fairly.
Thank you so much, Jen. That was Jen Li Yuan, an advocacy officer from the Women's Aid Organization, and she shared her thoughts on the gender pay gap in Malaysia. So I think what really I always come back to is the structural, societal issues that makes it feel like so much of an uphill challenge for us to close this gap, right? Because this whole issue about women in unpaid labor, not just childcare, but also taking care of your elderly relatives or other members of the family, it falls to women. Not only are we not compensated for that, but we are further penalized, and we are the first to lose out when it comes to discussions between the husband and the wife as partners in the family. The women will be the first to be deemed, you don't have to be in the workforce, in the paid workforce, you know. It just escalates.
And it's a bit of a vicious cycle, isn't it? Mm. I remember a few years ago when I spoke to this woman who had started an organization in India to help women who had taken breaks in their career to re-enter the workforce. Mm-hmm. And she was pointing out how one of the things that she very quickly realized is the assumption in that resume gap being if a man had 10 years of experience and if a woman had 7 years experience, mm-hmm. because she had taken 3 years off to manage her household. The typical employer would view those 3 years as dead years. Mm. But the truth was that those 3 years are not spent doing nothing.
Yep.
You're acquiring skills, just not skills that are often taken into account, but you're managing finances. You are communicating with a whole variety of people.
Mm-hmm.
You are learning to impart values,
yep.
Team management.
Negotiation skills.
Absolutely.
Throw any male CEO
to negotiate with a 3-year-old?
Exactly.
Yeah. So her point was that actually, if you look at skills not just as skills acquired in the workplace,
mm-hmm.
then it's very easy to see the value that women can bring to the workforce,
yeah.
and why they needn't necessarily take a pay cut just because they didn't spend those 3 years doing the same things that the man might have.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's such a mindset change and for companies to, I'm guessing that you could tease all these out when you bring the woman in for an interview, mm. and you speak to her and you realize that she can bring all these to the table, right?
Yeah.
But how do we get past that first post, you know? When HR, for instance, is looking at resumes, they're just going to go, oh, well, this person has 10 years, this person has 7 years, like you said. I'm going to toss the 7 years one to the bottom of the pile simply because.
You know? No, and I do think that's why, and we've had like HR people on our shows talk about this in various regards, that interviews need to be done more qualitatively, not necessarily based on paper credentials.
Yeah.
As we all know, these days, paper credentials can mean many things.
That's right.
Or nothing. Yeah, or nothing. Yeah. So I do think it's important that if you care about your employees, that you should give them a chance to make a case for themselves.
Yeah. And if you want to bring value to the workplace, and I think that diversity will bring immense value, and not just to look at women as a liability,
mm-hmm.
in your work environment.
Yeah, or someone that you can get away with paying less to.
Yes,
yeah.
or the whole maternity issue as well. So many structural problems there. Like Jen said, society and the way we think and the way we behave has to work hand in hand with policies and laws.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And we don't have to wait 250 years before...
257
before those changes happen, hopefully.
127? Well, yes. In our children's lifetime, I hope, at least. Yeah. That's all the time we have for this story. So do tweet us at BFM Radio or WhatsApp 018-789-8899 if you'd like to share any thoughts with us. Hang on, though, because we have a second story coming up for you about the benefits of reading out loud. First, here's Jet with Put Your Money Where Your Mouth Is, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.